House, please come to order. Members indicate your presence by voting. Representative Hawker. Madam Clerk.
31 members present.
We do have a quorum to conduct business. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Representative Foster has previously been excused from a call today. I move and ask unanimous consent that Representative Guttenberg be excused from 11 until 2:30 today.
Without objection, those members will be shown as excused. Leading the invocation today is Mandy Schramm of Congregation Sukkot Shalom. Will members please rise for the invocation?
Thank you. Your might, O God, is everlasting. Help us to use our strength for good and not for evil. You are the source of life and blessing. Help us to choose life for ourselves and our children. You are the support of the fallen. Help us to lift up the fallen. You are the author of freedom. Help us to set free the captive. You are our hope in death as in life. Help us to keep faith with those who sleep in the dust. Your might, O God, is everlasting. Help us to use our strength for good. Have mercy, O Lord our God, upon the righteous and faithful of all people and upon all of us here. Uphold all who faithfully put their trust in you and grant that we may always be numbered among them. Blessed is the Lord, the staff and support of the righteous. Amen.
Amen. Representative Wilson, you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. And to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Representative Dahlstrom.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would ask that beautiful prayer be spread across the journal.
Hearing no objection, then, that prayer will be spread across the journal. Madam Clerk, would you certify the journal for the previous legislative day?
I certify as the correctness of the journal for the 77th legislative day.
Mr. Majority Leader.
I move and ask unanimous consent that the journal of the previous day be approved as certified by the Chief Clerk.
Hearing no objection, then, the journal as presented by the Chief Clerk will be certified. Are there guests for introduction this morning? Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you very much. I hope to at an at ease go back and meet my new constituent. Jeffrey Mittman just moved here, I think, from Washington, D.C. He's going to be serving as the head of the Alaska ACLU. He's a former airborne ranger, qualified infantry lieutenant in the United States Army, and he's in the Parachovitz Gallery. If you'd help me welcome him.
Representative Lynn.
Good morning, Mr. Speaker. This morning I'd like to introduce a constituent, Mr. Andy Holloman. He's with the Golden View Middle School, where my daughter-in-law happens to teach, and he's here with NEA advocating for, guess what, school funding.
Other guests? Representative Dugan?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. For my colleagues who see me around the Capitol and wonder how it is that someone who's so clearly so loosely wrapped manages to keep going day after day, I'm happy to introduce you to the reason. In the Paratovich Gallery is a woman who has let me live with her now for going on 38 years. And if it wasn't for her, and I don't want you to take this out on her, Mr. Speaker, but if it wasn't for her, it's a safe bet that I wouldn't be here today. This is my wife, Kathy. I'd like you to help me.
Other guests for introduction. Representative Edgman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's my pleasure as well to introduce the woman who lets me live with her and who I'm under strict orders to say that she's the love of my life, so I'm going to say that publicly, and my partner, my wife, Melody, who's in the Taylor Gallery, and sitting next to her is my daughter, Maggie. So if you'd help me, welcome to June.
I was going to ask you who that other woman was you were with the other day, but it was your daughter, so you're all right. Representative Fairclough.
Mr. Speaker, I would like the body to help me recognize and honor Kathleen Geddes. If she would stand, she's in the Taylor Gallery tonight right now, and I'd like to tell you a little bit about her. She has her RN, a BSN, and a BA. She is a registered nurse at Providence Alaska Medical Center on the Progressive Unit Care and serves as the union president of Providence's Registered Nurses Bargaining Unit. Kathleen is active nationally, and she recently won the election as the director to the national union, United American Nurses. Kathleen is active in local nursing communities and serves on the Alaska Nursing Association's Board of Directors. Kathleen is married to her high school sweetheart, LTC Blake Geddes, who serves this great state and our country at the Coolis Air Guard. Please help me welcome Kathleen.
Their guests. Madam Clerk, are there messages from the governor?
There are no messages from the governor today.
Are there any messages from the other body?
A message dated March 31st stating the Senate has passed and returned House Concurrent Resolution 25, Sexual Assault Awareness Month, House Joint Resolution 29, Federal Funding for Special Education, House Joint Resolution 34, Federal Funding DNA Testing, and House Bill 315, Extend Big Game Commercial Services Board. A message dated March 31st stating the Senate has passed and transmitted for consideration Senate Bill 305 by the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee entitled An Act Relating to Recorking, Sealing, or Packaging of Wine Served with the Meal and Removal of Recorked, Sealed, or Packaged Wine from Licensed Premises.
That goes to Labor and Commerce Committee.
There are no further messages from the other body today.
Are there communications?
There are no communications.
There are standing committee reports.
The Rules Committee has considered House Joint Resolution 40, Electromagnetic Pulse Attack Defense, attaches a zero fiscal note, recommending Dupas, Fairclough, Samuels, Guttenberg, Harris, and Coghill. No recommendation for Tula and Johnson. The report was signed by Representative Coghill, Chair. House Joint Resolution 40 is on today's calendar. The Rules Committee has considered House Bill 207, Student Questionnaires and Surveys, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 207 Rules. With the same title, attaches a zero fiscal note, recommending Dupas, Curtula, and Guttenberg. No recommendation, Johnson, Fairclough, Samuels, Harris, and Coghill. The report was signed by Representative Coghill, Chair. House Bill 207 has no further referral. The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee has considered House Bill 386, Energy Subsidy for Schools, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 386, HESS. With the same title, attaches a fiscal note, recommending do pass Gardner, Seaton, Wilson, do not pass Keller, no recommendation Roses, amend Fairclough. The report was signed by Representative Wilson, Chair. House Bill 386 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Resources Committee has considered Senate Joint Resolution 17, Offshore Oil and Gas Revenue, attaches the previous zero note, recommending do pass Seaton, Guttenberg, Edgman, Roses, Wilson, and Johnson. No recommendation, Kawasaki. The report was signed by Representative Johnson, co-chair. Senate Joint Resolution 17 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Judiciary Committee has considered Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 101, Second Labor and Commerce, Guardianship, Conservators, and Capacity, recommends it be replaced with House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 101, Judiciary, with the same title, attaches the previous zero fiscal notes, recommending do pass Grunberg, Ramirez, no recommendation, Coghill, Dahlstrom, Samuels, and Holmes. The report was signed by Representative Ramirez, Chair. CS for SB 101, Second Labor and Commerce, has no further referral. The Labor and Commerce Committee has considered Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 120, Finance, Unemployment Compensation Benefits and Records, attaches a previous fiscal note, recommending do pass Gatto, Gardner, Book, and Olson, no recommendation, Ledoux, Newman, and Ramirez. The report was signed by Representative Olson, Chair. CSSB 120, Finance, has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Resources Committee has considered Senate Bill 229, Tananaw Valley Forest Minto Flats Refuge, attaches the two previous zero fiscal notes recommending DuPass, Seton, Wilson, Edgman, and Guttenberg. No recommendation, Fairclough, Kawasaki, Roses, and Johnson. The report was signed by Representative Johnson, co-chair. Senate Bill 229 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. I have no further standing committee reports.
Are there special committee reports?
And there are no special committee reports.
Are there resolutions or citations to be introduced?
Citation honoring Grant Stephen Hicks by Representative Newman and Senator Huggins. Honoring Monica Edwards, State Youth of the Year, by Representative Salmon and Senator Kukesh. Honoring Roxana and Elmer Jeske on their 50th wedding anniversary by Representative Gruenberg. Honoring Mark Shalirith, Alaska Sports Hall of Fame, by Representative Meyer. Honoring Colony High School girls basketball team 4A state champions by Representative Gatto. Honoring Anchorage Christian Schools 2008 girls 3A state basketball champions by Representative Meyer. Honoring Chugiak High School drama, debate, and forensics team 2008 Alaska state champions by Representatives Stoltz, Fairclough, Dahlstrom, and Senator Dyson and Huggins. Honoring Haynes High School boys basketball team by Representative Thomas and Senator Kukesh. Honoring Village Public Safety Officer John Paratovich by Senator Olson. In memoriam, Jessica Stevens by Representative Newman and Senator Huggins. There are no further citations or resolutions.
Are there bills for introduction?
I have no bills for introduction.
This brings us down to consideration of the daily calendar. Madam Clerk, would you please read the very first item on today's agenda?
House Bill 332 by Representatives Edgman, Gardner, and Dahl, entitled An Act Relating to Elementary and Pre-Elementary Schools. The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee considered the bill, attached a zero fiscal note recommending due pass Cisnes, Seton, Roses, Keller, and Wilson. The report was signed by Representative Wilson, Chair. The Finance Committee considered the bill, recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 332, Finance, with the same title, Pat, and attached to the previous zero note, recommending due pass Crawford, Jewell, Thomas, Guerra. No recommendation, Hawker, Kelly, Stoltz, and Chenault. The report was signed by Representative Chenault, co-chair. There's one committee substitute.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the Finance Committee substitute for House Bill 332 be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Without objection, then, we have the finance version before us. Are there any amendments?
I have no amendments.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the committee substitute for House Bill 332 Finance be considered a gross, advance or third reading and placed on final passage.
All right, there's no objection. Madam Clerk, we're in third reading. Would you please read the title for the third and final time?
Committee substitute for House Bill 332 Finance, entitled An Act Relating to Elementary and Pre-Elementary Schools.
Representative Edgman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think I need to ask for a little bit of leniency here because it is my first bill on the floor, and I'm getting the sense that I may not be in for the easy road here. What House Bill 332 does is it goes into Title 14, the statute that governs education, and it offers a more explicit definition of pre-elementary schools. This so that Head Starts primarily can qualify for federal funds, the E-rate as it's called, that helps provides them a discount rate on their telephone and internet services. And the E-rate services that come into Alaska are pretty significant. They're all federal funds with no state dollars attached to it. And it can range anywhere from $14 to $20 million a year. And the Head Start programs qualified for this subsidy up until 2004, when suddenly the federal government said, your definition of pre-elementary facilities, Alaska, doesn't meet our standards or isn't clear enough. And so sort of inexplicably, the Head Start programs were dropped from the subsidy. So what this bill does is go back into the law, tightens up the definition, provides more clarity, and would allow for Head Starts to qualify for the subsidy, which again is federal funds that all 50 of the states compete for, and wouldn't, if this bill were to become law, wouldn't sort of endanger or compromise any funding stream that an existing K-12 school may get through the E-rate subsidy. So with that, Mr. Speaker, I'll sit down and hopefully get everybody's support on the bill.
Is there other debate? Let me send this bill back to rule. No. Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall committee substitute for House Bill?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Short eddies, I'm sorry.
Representative Curtillo wants to take an eddy. House, come back to order. All right, now that we got so rudely interrupted here, we were just about ready to ask for the question. Poor Representative Edgman's down there, just nervous as I'll get out. The question is, shall committee substitute for House Bill? Max, would you sit down? The question is, shall committee substitute for House Bill 332 pass the House? Members, please vote. Ooh. Madam Clerk, would you lock the roll? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
39 yeas, 0 nays.
And so the vote of 39 yeas and 0 nays, committee substitute for House Bill 332 has passed the House. Representative Curtillo.
Thank you. I'd ask for reconsideration on the bill so there can be a little tightening done. Thank you.
Reconsideration has been asked for on committee substitute for House Bill 332 on the same day. No, I guess not on the same day. All right, Madam Clerk, would you please read the next item on today's agenda?
Committee substitute for Senate Bill 149, Labor and Commerce, by the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee, entitled An Act Relating to Redistribution of Used Eyeglasses and to the Board of Dispensing Opticians. The Labor and Commerce Committee considered the bill, recommending due pass. Gardner, Boop, Gatto, Ramirez, and Olson. No recommendation, Ledoux. A zero fiscal note was attached. The report was signed by Representative Olson, Chair. I have no amendments.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the committee substitute for Senate Bill 149, Labor and Commerce, be considered a gross advance or third reading and placed on final passage.
Seeing no objection, we're in third reading. Madam Clerk, could you read the title for the third and final time?
Committee substitute for Senate Bill 149, Labor and Commerce, entitled An Act Relating to Redistribution of Used Eyeglasses and to the Board of Dispensing Opticians.
Are you ready for the question? Representative Coghill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I was asked to carry this particular bill. Mr. Speaker, I think there are nonprofit organizations that have taken used eyeglasses and put them to good use. The Lions Club is one of them. They have been a significant player internationally. This gives them a chance to do this in the state. The Board of Optometry has been deleted, so that's why it's in the title, but it does give the department a statutory framework for them to work with these people to take used eyeglasses, and based on a prescription from a doctor, can go and fit a set of used eyeglasses. So I think this is a good bill, and we'll try to answer any questions if there are.
Representative Stoltz.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I appreciate the brief introduction. I'm pretty passionate about Lions projects. I'm a very active member. I'm a charter member of the Chugiak Lions, and I was real proud to be named Lion of the Year last year. We do some goofy things, the roaring, but the things we... Sight became an issue for the Lions when Helen Keller visited a Lions International meeting many, many years ago and asked the Lions International to embrace the issue of sight. It has a very heartfelt and distinguished history within the Lions, and it's tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions, of dollars have probably been put in by the Lions International, over the many decades on improving sight. This is certainly just one small aspect. I didn't want to pass by this occasion not to acknowledge the Lions for all the work they've done. I know my small group has donated in the tens of thousands of dollars, including recent contributions to the eye screening trailer that's at the Alaska State Fair every year. And another issue that's unfortunately related to sight and blindness is diabetes has become another mission, and certainly a mission of my club as well. And those are each club certainly has its own focus, but for the international, sight is a passion and a commitment for the Lions, and this is just one small step to help improve access to something that's pretty precious to all of us, and that's sight.
Other debate? Ready for the question? Question is, shall committee substitute for Senate Bill 149 pass the House? Members, please vote. Madam Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
38 yeas, 0 nays.
So the vote of 38 yeas, 0 nays can be substituted for Senate Bill 149 has passed the House. Representative Lynn, you want to roll back up the calendar and introduction, I guess?
I do, sir. Thank you very much. It's my great pleasure this morning to introduce another constituent. Her name is Kathy Giesel. She's a member of the Alaska Board of Nursing. She's an advanced nurse practitioner. She's also a vice chair of the Republican Party of Alaska. But most importantly, she's a constituent and a good friend of mine. She's been a big help to me over the years. So please stand and welcome my friend Kathy Giesel.
Any other guests while we're here? Representative Dahlstrom.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In the Taylor Gallery, I'd like to introduce Michaela Gernston. And Michaela's with the Institute of the North.
Any other guests while we're here? Okay. Back down the calendar. Madam Clerk, please read the next item on today's agenda.
Senate Bill 249, entitled An Act Establishing the Alaska Capstone Avionics Revolving Loan Fund and Relating to the Fund and Providing for an Effective Date. The
bill's Representative Kelly. Reading.
Good morning, Mr. Speaker. Thank you. It's my pleasure to carry this capstone bill. The pilots in the room don't need the following information, but for those of you that are not pilots, this is a program that the FAA implemented in Alaska not quite a decade ago, and they placed this new technology, the capstone equipment, in planes in southwest and western Alaska, and also in southeast Alaska. This test, we do a lot of tests, and quite a few of them up here in Alaska, but I don't know of any that proved as successful as this one. They found with the 600 test aircraft involved in the programs that there was a reduction in fatal accidents of about 33% and a reduction overall in accidents of fatal and non-fatal of about 47%. Since Alaska places number one, a sad number one, on the accident rate for aviation, not surprising because we fly in the toughest weather and the toughest environment and more remote than anywhere in the United States, but it's something that we've been trying to put behind us for some time. This program had a dramatic impact on safety. As a person that has flown the equipment, I can tell you that it's absolutely amazing what that equipment does for the average VFR or visual flight pilot, and even for the instrument pilot. It is a moving map display. It paints a picture of all the aircraft that are in the area, right in the cockpit of the airplane. It also paints on the screen the terrain that encountered in the area, the mountains, and shows the level. Also shows you exactly where you are on the map, the altitude and the direction of flight, so that you know what the other guy's doing and he knows what you're doing. This would endow the fund with $4.8 million, and which would eventually, over the life of the program, be leveraged because of payback to the fund and interest to about a $13 million program. It costs about $10,000 to $20,000 to equip these aircraft, and the FAA essentially said if the state would step up to the plate with an incentive like this, that they would roll this program out in Alaska rather than in some area where they could get a larger density of the population and actually, from their point of view, more bang for the buck as far as numbers. But by stepping up to the plate in this fashion, this has caused the FAA to choose Alaska first. And they've got a five-year rollout beginning this summer with routes between Fairbanks and Anchorage and also between Kotzebue and Nome. And they would install the ground equipment. This is a ground, satellite, and aircraft installation to make it work. This would be repaid to the state at the end of the program and would inflation protect the fund. So it's a great investment. All the work on the aircraft would be done by the private sector. It's the best investment in safety dollars that I've seen come down the pike, and I would encourage the body to approve this bill. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Stoltz.
I'm not going to be this chatty every day, but this is just basically a safety improvement. Airplanes are our highway in Alaska, and that's if we were talking about the number of fatalities and injuries and the impact on the breadth of families across our state, and this it wouldn't even be a debating point if we were talking about fixing a dangerous stretch of highway where somebody had been injured, and this is just another one of our highways. So in that, I wouldn't even care if it was paid back, because I think it's a critical life safety issue for the highway, for many of my colleagues in this building, and I know many of I know more of my friends have died that I went to high school with have died in airplane crashes and car crashes, and that's just the reality of Alaska. So have no criticism about putting money into this program, and it is a life safety, and it would not even be a debatable subject if it were talking about a stretch of highway with the carnage of our airwaves.
Representative Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I live in a district that if you can't get the ferry there, you're right, airplanes, and every one of the planes that I've been in have this avionics system in there, and it's a great system. I don't like to get into it when the weather's marginal, but they still feel comfortable with it. I don't, so I'm still from the old school. But I know it's going to save lives, and I think we have an increased improvement in crashes. I mean, that's realistic. Like down here, if you know, as a speaker from Eagle River, if you live in Southeast, you know somebody died in a plane. So it's just like fishing, so I wholly support. This is one of the few moments that we're not trying to put somebody in jail or fine them to death, so we're trying to actually save lives. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Johansson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Not only does it save lives and prevent accidents, it also helps in search and rescue. One of the pilot programs is down in Southeast, and if a plane does go down, you have you narrow the area, you know where it was on the screen. If something bad happens, we had a tough summer in Ketchikan, but it also helps search and rescue. And it takes time off of searching and finding people who might be out there, and it may be a matter of life and death for some of these people if something unfortunate happens. Not only does it prevent, but it helps in the search and rescue side as well. And I wholeheartedly support this legislation.
Representative Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Again, I fully support this piece of legislation. The ability for pilots to receive low-interest loans so they can put this equipment in their planes is critical. And it's not just in their own local planes, but a lot of these folks in my district who have ecotourism where they fly people around to look at the bears, the glaciers, and all the sites that Alaska has. So it goes a little bit more than their own personal planes. And again, as we just previously mentioned, the ability to go find an airplane after it's had an accident is a huge benefit to all people. And this is an expandable program where it will continue to grow and provide low-interest loans for pilots in the future. So a very good bill.
Other debate? You ready for the question? Question is, shall Senate Bill 249 pass the House? Members, please vote. Madam Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
38 yeas, 0 nays.
And so the vote of 38 yeas, 0 nays, Senate Bill 249 has passed the House. Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call vote on the passage of Senate Bill 249 be considered the roll call vote on the effective date clause.
There are no objection, then the roll call vote on the bill will be the roll call vote on the effective date clause. Madam Clerk, please read the next item on today's agenda.
House Joint Resolution 40 by the House Rules Committee by request of the Joint Legislative Armed Services Committee relating to defending the state from electromagnetic pulse attacks. The Rules Committee considered the resolution attached to zero fiscal note recommending due pass Fairclough, Samuels, Guttenberg, Harris, and Coghill. No recommendation for Tula and Johnson. The report was signed by Representative Coghill, Chair. I have one amendment.
Representative Cortula.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move the amendment.
Hearing no objection, then, amendment number one has passed the House. Are there any other amendments?
I have no further amendments.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that HJR 40 be considered a gross advance to third reading and placed on final passage.
Hearing no objection, then, we are in third reading. Madam Clerk, would you please read the title for the third and final time?
House Joint Resolution 40 amended relating to defending the state from electromagnetic pulse attacks.
Representative Dahlstrom.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm going to start out by saying I'm glad this gets her over. But the first question and most frequently asked question I have heard lately is what's EMP, electromagnetic pulse attack, and that is what happens when a nuclear device is explodes in the atmosphere, and it sends a shockwave that could be compared to lightning. And this shockwave doesn't kill people instantly, but what it does is it stops all communication systems that we have currently that would help us to maintain any type of communication. This is something that's extremely important to our homeland security. In fact, the state is in the process of rewriting our homeland security briefs and what we would or wouldn't do if this were to happen. The United States government is looking at it very seriously. And in fact, in 1997, the Alaska legislature was the first state to petition the federal government to develop a robust layered program to deal with this. With Fort Greeley in our state and the nuclear site that we have there, it's extremely critical that we are aware of the threats and that things that could happen. In fact, many things happen on a daily basis that the general public is not aware of, as our U.S. military is very diligently doing their job in protecting us. So with that, I would ask for your support on this. Thank you.
Any other debate? Ready for the question? Question is, shall House Joint Resolution 40, submitted on the floor of the House, pass the House? Members, please vote. Madam Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
37 yeas, 0 nays.
So the vote of 37 yeas and 0 nays, House Joint Resolution 40 has passed the House. Madam Clerk, please read the next item on today's agenda.
For citations on today's calendar.
Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the House approve the citations on today's calendar.
Without objection, the citation on today's calendar is approved. At ease. Anything under unfinished business, Mr. Majority Leader? Representative Meyer?
Where are we at? Unfinished business?
Yeah.
I have other announcements. Sorry.
We're moving at a fast pace, but keep up with me. It's okay. Any committee announcements? Any other announcements? There you go. Representative Meyer jumps right up.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Under committee announcements? I'm trying to keep up with you, Mr. Speaker. May we go up to committee announcements?
We're under committee announcements, yeah.
Okay. Again, two opportunities to have fun in finance. 1:30 today, finance meeting, and then again 8:30 tomorrow morning. Can we go to other announcements?
No, we're still under committee announcements.
Right.
Representative Johansson?
Transportation at 1 o'clock.
Transportation at 1 o'clock. Any other committee announcements? Representative Roses?
Thank you. Military and Veterans Affairs at 1 o'clock.
Okay, Veterans at 1. Any other announcements? Committee announcements? Okay, any other announcements? Representative Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that we have House Bill 294, Marine Transportation Board and Division from Finance, and I have all the necessary signatures, including even yours, Mr. Speaker.
Shocking. Is there any objection, then, to moving that bill from Finance Committee, I assume, to the Rules Committee? Okay, then no objection, then that bill will move from the Finance Committee to the next committee referral. Are there any other announcements from St. Coghill?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I know that other committee meetings will be meeting today, but today in the speaker's chambers at 3 o'clock, I've invited the ANGSA CEOs, which is the 13 regional corporations, having a meeting today with the governor, and I took the opportunity to snag them and ask them if they'd visit with us in the speaker's chamber. So at 3 o'clock, we can have a discussion. And I've asked for this discussion to find out what are the things that are of interest to them that we could be a part of in discussion and vice versa. So I think that it would be a good discussion. I would invite those who don't have committee meetings at that particular time to come join us. If we all get in there, it'll be a crowded room, but I know I've at least a couple of committee meetings happening. So 3 o'clock in the speaker's chambers. Thank you.
Representative Nelson, would you like to roll back up the calendar to introduction of guests?
Yes, Mr. Speaker. Thank you. I appreciate the latitude. In the Taylor Gallery, I have two special guests. One is Johanna Crossett. She's a midwife here in Juneau and a mother of two. And she's holding my baby girl, Nora Shine Nelson. And I just wanted to introduce them to everybody.
Representative Curtula, are you under introduction to guests?
No.
Oh. You didn't have any babies you wanted to introduce or anything like that?
I don't think so.
Okay. All right. We're back down the calendar to other announcements. Representative Curtula?
Wasn't an effort at redundancy, but also a meeting with the CEOs at 12:30 in the Farron Camp. So if you can't make the one in the speaker's chambers, you're also welcome to come to that one. Thank you.
Representative Cisna.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I'd like to just let everybody put on their calendars tomorrow's health caucus. It will be the last health caucus of this regular session, and it will feature true stories. And the stories that we're going to hear from individuals who are willing to tell them are people who found the support, the treatment, and the internal strength to overcome conditions that in Alaska are noted, and they're noted nationally as indicators of real health problems. They're substance abuse, domestic violence, and mental illness. And what we know we're going to find from these stories, because people have surmounted their problems, is ways of making these programs in our state something that we can meet the challenge ourselves, and to make better treatments and lower our costs by solving these problems in the delivery of services that we have. In that 1 hour lunch period, we'll be doing that and having a conversation right afterwards. But I might add that, as I understand it, we're going to be having pictures taken tomorrow on the steps of the Capitol, so it'll be really immediately after that. So I'm not going to say noon. I'm going to say right after the pictures. And it will be in the Butrovich room, and light lunch is served. Thank you.
Very good. Any other announcements? Representative Kawasaki, you have an announcement? Oh, that later. Special orders. Representative Ramos.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Bearing in mind that today is April Fool's Day, this is no joke. My special order is, where's Waldo?
Where's Waldo?
Where's Waldo? Mr. Speaker, many of us here in this body are familiar with the books, Where's Waldo? And I use that today to draw attention to where is TransCanada Pipeline Company? We have been visited multiple times by Mr. Tony Palmer, who is the Vice President for Alaska. But those of us that were fortunate enough to travel to Energy Council, we had a dinner. I think there were 16 of us. We had a dinner that was hosted by TransCanada. And our host, the top of the organizational chart at our dinner, was Mr. Dennis McConaughey, the Senior Vice President for TransCanada. And I posed this question to him. Where is the top of the organization chart for us to talk to here in Alaska? This is the largest construction project for North America, $40 billion, with the risk, the construction risk that's involved in taking the project 50% over budget, perhaps more than that over budget. Where's Mr. Quisley, the CEO of TransCanada? Where is their presence in this building? Now, we will see Mr. Palmer later this week, but where is the daily presence? Where is the ability for us to get to know this organization? They're not here. And they're not available, and they are not lending themselves to an open and transparent environment in this most important debate and discussion that we will be taking up shortly. So I ask the body, Mr. Speaker, where's Waldo, and where's TransCanada, and where's Mr. Quisley, the CEO of TransCanada Pipeline Company? Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Fairclough.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Permission to speak on who's Sam?
Who is Sam?
Sam, for me today, is spelled S-A-A-M. That stands for Sexual Assault Awareness Month, and April is Sexual Assault Awareness Month. November is Domestic Violence Awareness Month, but April is teal in color for some around the state, and an opportunity to talk to Alaskans and educate them and provide a little bit of a knowledge. And a little bit of knowledge really can do magnificent things in making change. Remembering those who have been harmed by sexual assault or domestic violence, thanking our response teams, our medical providers, our law enforcement officers, and those who advocate around the state to prevent sexual violence. and an opportunity to educate our community and seek accountability for those who've been harmed. So with that, on your desk this morning, I have passed out Creating a Healthy Workplace. It's part of a national campaign creating awareness throughout the states. And it talks about creating a healthy workplace and what you, each one of you, can do here on the floor today as an employer of people and those for your employees. So if you'd like further information, please stop by my office. I have a pamphlet that's distributed nationally for this particular month, and I hope that you will contact your local providers in your hometowns and local communities and see if there's activities that you can lend your voice to in support of reducing violence in the state of Alaska.
Representative Johansson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Permission to speak on the rules, Chairman?
The rules, Chairman.
Just referencing the announcement that he made. I'm not stupid.
You don't like his haircut, or what's the matter?
If you can't make the 12:30 meeting, or actually I implore all of you to go to either the 12:30 meeting or the 3 o'clock meeting, if you simply look at the economics of what those corporations mean to this state of Alaska, simply put them on a piece of white piece of paper and look at the numbers and understand what these corporations mean to our economy. If you're not aware of that, you will be shocked, absolutely shocked. So this is a great opportunity for you to get in touch with the people who are in charge of these corporations. In my part of the country down here, where 90% of the land is owned by the federal government, they are absolutely invaluable to our economy. And in the future of Alaska, it's going to be more difficult if we don't get our land selections and get the land that we were promised at statehood. These corporations will have so much more influence than I would gather most of you would understand. It's very important to my community because of our land status, but take the opportunity to know these people and understand what their economics means to your constituents. Thank you.
Are there special orders? There's Angel.
Two worlds.
Yep. Just listening to the prior speaker and about that time of the year. And, you know, it's amazing what 30 years has been able to do with the Angska corporations. And if they come this far, this fast, and have been able to adapt, just think of what the next 30 years can bring for our state. And I think I'm thinking of that in very, very positive terms, in terms of land ownership, in terms of employability, in terms of meeting some of the educational challenges, the workforce challenges, and taking on some of the tough issues that we have to deal with, that we start figuring out how we're going to deal with them here. but that's one world. The other world is many of the same people this time of the year are putting Ugruk skins on frames, boat frames. Ugruk, for those of you who may not know, is bearded seal. And these bearded seals are being stretched over these boat frames were harvested last spring. And soon, as the bowhead whales begin to migrate, many of the same people that have one foot solidly planted in today's Western world of integration, a world of technology, and a world of business, a world of education, also have the other foot firmly planted in a world of a strong heritage, in a world of an evolving culture, and have showed over time that they're very good at adapting. And maybe, just maybe, Mr. Speaker, if we stay on schedule and get out of here on the 13th and are not back for a little while. it's been 16 years since I've had the opportunity to go out on the ice. And, you know, I started taking my son when he was 4 years old. He's 26 now. And he hasn't missed a year in those 22 years. My grandson is 5. He's going to get his first year this year. I'd sure like to be there. And So as people meet with the CEOs today, you know, to be able to observe people who have made and continue to make a huge transition, keep that in mind, because in both worlds, we have much to offer.
Representative Coghill?
Yes, topic is more than one comment.
More than one comment.
Yeah, because it's been my heart's desire to try to figure out ways to create the conversation that is going to happen today. And so over the last several years, I have mooched my way into a couple of those CEO meetings to begin, and I've drugged the majority leader, and I drugged a member from Kotzebue, and we've at least began the discussion. This kind of kicks the discussion a little bit wider, and I'm glad for that. So I think on that comment, there's three big landowners in Alaska, and the biggest one is the federal government. The next biggest is the state, and the next biggest is the regional corporations and the native-owned lands in Alaska. And I think it's going to behoove us to work all three together. But it's certainly, as far as the people in Alaska are concerned, the people that have the state land and the people that have the native land are going to have to figure out ways to make this work, because the federal land is cared for and thought of more about those outside of the state than those inside of the state. And so we have to work double time, I think. And so that's one of the reasons why I've worked so hard at that conversation. One of the other comments is on promptness, Mr. Speaker. First of all, I'd like to commend this legislature. This is probably one of the legislatures that we've been more prompt at the 10 o'clock hour than almost any other time that I've been here in the last 10 years. Thank you for that. Thank you for the leadership in that area. It's always tough because there's things that are happening. But one of the things that we don't want to miss was mentioned by the lady who has the health caucus all the time, the promptness for the two pictures that will happen tomorrow. One of them will be here on the floor for the panoramic, and one of them will be on the floor of the, steps of the Capitol building tomorrow at noon. So one at 10 and one at noon. And the more people we have assembled in a short order, the faster that thing can happen. And if it's raining, you want it to happen really fast. And then one other comment, Mr. Speaker, because this is the rules chairman speaking. I've had to remind a couple of people about cell phones on the floor, even during breaks, and using the BlackBerries on the floor because of the sound system and for other reasons should be discouraged. And so I understand the temptation, and I would encourage members not to use those pieces of equipment on the floor, please. Thank you.
Any other special orders? Representative Thomas?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The permission to speak on the other corporation.
The other corporation?
Yes, Mr. Speaker. People seem to forget that we have village corporations underneath the regionals, and I was involved with a village corporation for 30 years and very active with the CEOs and the presidents of the village corporations in Southeast, who were at one time a very strong economic package for Southeast, and many still are. They have trust funds that create, we call them general income trusts, dividends, education trusts, and silviculture work. So there are village corporations that do also fall in probably everybody's districts here, and then you have the regionals. So I like to count as the other. There is a strong difference in identity, and they're very proud of each one. So I just want to say I respect the villages too. Thank you.
Any other special orders? Mr. Darling.
Ask unanimous consent the House stand adjournment until 10 a.m. Wednesday, April 2nd.
That objection will be an adjournment until 10 a.m. tomorrow.